Hello, welcome to my podcast about the history of life. My name is Dr. Aaron Hunter. I am a Blue Badge Guide for London, and I'm also a science guide and tutor at the University of Cambridge. And my life is spent, or my professional life is spent, telling people about the history of life on Earth through fossils. And this is the science of paleontology, and I'm a paleontologist. And I'm standing here in London's Natural History Museum, in a gallery. I'm in the Waterhouse building, named after the architect Alfred Waterhouse, and I'm surrounded by the beautiful light brown terracotta tiles that are used to create this fantastic building. But actually, I'm here in the Marine Reptile Gallery, and I'm standing in front of one of the best collections in the world of marine reptiles from the Jurassic times. That's 190 million years ago. And I'm here to talk about a very special scientist, Mary Anning. She was one of the first fossil hunters, and she was a pioneer in her science, and she wasn't recognised in her life as much as she should have been because of her gender and because of her social class. She could not be a member of the main society then in London, which was the Geological Society of London, which was only open to gentlemen scientists. But she was recognised by them. And in fact, she would become friends with them, and her specimens would travel the world and travel Britain and would change our view of the history of life. If we go back in time now to the early 19th century, we are here at the dawn of the science of paleontology. And when we realised that these fossils represented animals that don't exist today and would have appeared highly alien to us. So let's talk about Mary. Well, Mary lived in a town in what is now southwest England, and it was called Lyme Regis. And it was there she had a fossil shop. In fact, if you know the tongue twister, she sells seashells on the seashore, that's her. Because she was born in 1799, and it was clear from a young age that she was very clever, and she was able to get some form of education before 11 years old. Now her father took her out, Richard Anning, out onto the cliffs around Lyme Regis, which are full of fossils. And it was there that she started to collect fossils. But her life took a big turn in 1810, when her father dies of tuberculosis and an injury while fossil collecting. And it's then that she has to sell fossils to support her family, which were very poor. Now, over time, she would create a business and she would create a fossil shop. But one of the specimens she discovered is the one that we're standing in front of now. So I'm going to describe what we can see. What we can see is a very unusual animal with a long snout and big teeth and a huge eye. And when this was discovered, scientists referred to this as the stone crocodile, because it is rather crocodile-like in the way it looks. But then as we stand back and look at the object, you will see it has a long spine, and the rest of the animal looks a little bit crocodile-like, but it has paddles, rather like a dolphin or rather like a seal. So it looks a little bit different. Now, this animal is called an ichthyosaur, or fish lizard. And it wasn't until she was able to sell that specimen commercially during the early part of the 19th century that it became to the attention of people in the Royal Society, and they realised it was an organism that never really existed before. And in fact, this organism has been immortalised as a reconstruction within the Crystal Palace dinosaurs in southwest London, or southeast London rather. So this animal itself, as we see it now, has changed in the way it looks. And in fact, if you move a little way, I will show you something else, because we're now standing in front of another special ichthyosaur. If we look up slightly, you will see this ichthyosaur has the body we've just seen, it has the flippers, it has this very long snout. But can you just see, coming out the back is another tiny ichthyosaur. What you are seeing here is something very special, because this is a mother. She's giving birth to a baby ichthyosaur, and both of them have tragically died during this moment of childbirth. Not only is this a very sad fossil, but also it tells us that ichthyosaurs were very unique because they're one of the first animals that we know of to give birth to live young. And in fact, many reptiles will go back to the land in which to lay their eggs. They normally have eggs like a turtle or a tortoise, certainly a sea turtle. But this showed the ichthyosaurs that perhaps couldn't have done this. They couldn't have gone back to the land. They couldn't have walked up onto the land. Even though the Crystal Palace dinosaur models show that, they probably spent, rather like dolphins and whales, their entire life at sea. And so for that very reason, they would have had to have given birth to live young at sea. So it means that many skeletons actually have ichthyosaur babies inside. So as we look down and move along the gallery, you will start to realise, as I point out to you right now, that you will see a series of ichthyosaur skeletons, and inside of them you will also see a series of babies, up to 6 or 7 inside the cavity of these animals. But they didn't look like a seal, and they certainly didn't look like a crocodile, because as we move along we have seen another fossil here. Now, most of the fossils on this wall are from several parts of the UK. They're from Lyme Regis, they're also from areas called Kimmeridge in Dorset, and some of them are even from Somerset, where there's another deposit of these rocks, these lias rocks, as we call them, these mudstones, which are in that area too. But there's another part of the world that also has beautiful ichthyosaurs that I can talk about, and that one is in Germany, in Holzmaden. Now, Holzmaden is near Stuttgart, in southwest Germany, and Holzmaden is special because, unlike Lyme Regis, or more so, the seabed in Holzmaden was quite dead during the Jurassic times over 180 million years ago. And that seabed meant that many organisms, when they fell down to that seabed, would be preserved down there and not eaten by bacteria. They would stay there. And it meant that through very complicated scientific processes, soft tissue would be preserved. And so what we're looking at here is an ichthyosaur, just like the ones we've just seen, but in fact it has the silhouette of the soft tissues round the outside. And the soft tissues show us that in fact ichthyosaurs look just like dolphins. Now they probably swam like sharks, which meant their tail went side to side rather than up and down, but you can see now distinctly the top fin that they had, entirely soft tissue, that top fin, probably muscle. And then out the back, maybe even cartilage, and then out the back you also see that the fact that it doesn't just have a tail going straight, as I pointed out earlier on, it has a tail that goes up and forms like a shark's tail. Now, since then, other scientific research has shown us that these animals had blubber, and they may have had a grey colour, just like a dolphin. Mary Anning wasn't just working on ichthyosaurs. Later in her career, she'd find a very strange-looking animal that again would have had a large round body, a short tail, and 4 flippers. But what was interesting about this particular fossil was it had over 30 vertebrae in its neck and a small head at the end. The head would have been about 20 centimetres long. And like many of the fossils being discovered at that time, some of the scientists were very, very wary. They thought they might be fakes. So when this fossil was given to the scientists, in a case there was William Conybeare and William Buckland, and they looked at this particular specimen, they would have looked at it and been shocked. Even the founder of this museum, Dr. Richard Owen, would have also been shocked by a look of this animal. And the scientist in Paris, Georges Cuvier, believed it was actually a fake. However, those scientists who were friends with Mary Anning believed her. In fact, she started the scientific research. She actually did all the sketches. And so it is nice to know that these scientists, when they stood up at the Geological Society of London, they were there to say, thank you, Mary, for your research. Thank you for finding this specimen. And thank you for your sketches that contributed towards the discovery of what is now called a plesiosaur. I hope you've enjoyed this short tour of the Natural History Museum, and I hope in the future to tell you more about the history of life on our planet.